bad luck. So I'm taking shelter there. But God is good because last Sunday they came and they shared with us. They made us some hot meals. And it was the best time since I've been down here. You know, they showed that God was in them and God really touched me that day. And I had to come tonight because I needed to get prayed. I need, to get back focused with God want me to be at.
Yes.
And I feel that God had me here. And I see that God brought Brent and Don in my life for a reason.
Come on.
You know, because I was telling Brent, I've been delivered from alcohol and drugs for like 4 years now. But the thing about it, it's hard living in the shelter, but, I'm trying my best to get a job, and it's hard to find a job out there, but I told Brenda now, I know God got a plan for me.
Come on.
Yes.
You know, God got a plan for me. I mean, I'm going through it right now, but God will move me somewhere better, and I know He is. I just like to thank the New Bern Church family for being there for us, because without them tonight, I don't know what I'll be doing tonight. You know, I probably sit in the shelter, nothing to do. I cooperate all day long. I'm wearing them up. Come get me, bro. Come get me. I need to go to church. And he came and got me. Yesterday, Don came. Yesterday, he got me. You know, Don helped me get a job and everything. I thank God for this, for the New Bern Church. I thank God for all y'all here tonight. Thank you.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Says that there is nothing that you can do that would make Him love you more. There is also nothing you can do that would make Him love you less. He loves you because He loves you, 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 because that is what He is like. It is His nature to love. And you will always be the beloved. And His love is unchanging. And He loves you 100%. He won't love you any better when you become better. He loves you 100% right now. And even if you have no plans to become better, He will still love you 100%.
Father, as you release the gifts among us, God, you awaken and stir, Lord, this prophetic gift that you place in every single one of us, Father. I ask you to temper it with love. Lord, now come, Holy Spirit, such a powerful way of touch every person in here. In Jesus' name. In the nombre de Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We had talked about, I was just laying some few basic foundations. God is always speaking. We're going to see that this evening more. You're going to come to see, you're going to come to understand He has always been speaking. You've heard Him. You already have a prophetic gift within you. What we're doing is simply stirring it up and helping you tune in to the voice of the Lord. When you're born again, you are His son and His daughter. It is His desire. He's always been trying to communicate with you. He wants so bad to have that fellowship like Adam and Eve had in the garden before the fall. That's what He's bringing us back to. We are a prophetic people. With that verse in Joel, that in those days I will pour out my spirit, your sons and daughters will prophesy. We talked about that being God's dream. God has this dream of a prophetic generation, of a prophetic people. We are that generation.
Amen.
We are that people. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through different ways God speaks. And I really want to give you a grid for the supernatural. I just want to open up your eyes. It's okay to talk about. When we just talk about hearing the voice of God, that's supernatural. We are a supernatural people. When we're born again, we are a brand new creation. We are positioned in heavenly places. We live out of a heavenly realm. And the more we start to understand that, the more you that will come to fruit in your life.
Talk about visions.
There's very many different types of visions. The first one is visions of the mind, internal visions, or closed visions. These are visions, and they move. They're happening within your mind. We're getting into some mechanics of the prophetic now. They are moving within your mind, on the inside of your mind. The inside of your mind is like a screen. You see it with your spiritual eyes. What is your spiritual eyes? Your imagination. That's a very truth that you've got to grab a hold of. Your spiritual eyes is your imagination. As you learn to accept that and be more comfortable with that, once you know where your spiritual eyes are, God gave you your imagination for a purpose. It is an organ. It is a tool. So this, you can have communication with the heavenly realm. That's where you see these visions. Daniel had this type of vision. In Daniel 4:13, he says, I was looking in the visions in my mind. Most of the visions you see will be in your mind. Many times you've had visions in your mind. And we tend to just dismiss these visions because we don't understand what they are. We don't understand the source of it. As we start to understand it, some of these visions are from the Lord. Then we can zero in and start to interpret what he's speaking. Is open or external vision? I probably only had a couple of these, just a few of these in my life, but it's like a movie screen that's playing. You can, the best way I can describe it, it's so real, vivid, it's dramatic. It'll stop you dead in your tracks. I don't know any way to make that happen. The Lord just does it. And it's like you can reach out and grab it. That is an open vision. You can have an open vision when you're doing something else. You can be driving a car and have an open vision. Doesn't that make you feel good when you see a guy coming towards you now on the highway? The third one is a pictorial vision. I probably personally see more pictorial visions than anything else. A pictorial vision, it's a single image or a snapshot that you see in your mind. And we're going to talk towards the end of this how to distinguish between those pictures in your mind that are you and the ones that are the Lord. I'm going to show you how to distinguish the difference. It's kind of like this. If I said red, a fire truck, imagine a red fire truck. If you close your eyes, you could picture a red fire truck in your mind probably. That is a pictorial vision. Usually when people prophesy, they prophesy, at least I do, from pictorial visions. I'll walk up to someone, and a pictorial vision will come in my mind. And I have to interpret what that means. That's where the practice comes in. Sometimes it is what it is. For example, I was prophesying over this girl one time. I had never met her, didn't know anything about her. And I went up there and I said, I see a car. And she busted down crying and I fell on the ground. So once we got her up, I said, what was that about? She said, I wrecked my car. I did not have any money. And I've been praying that the Lord would give me a car. And this word lets me know that I'm going to get a car. And she got one after that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if I go up to someone and I see a bus or a boat, that could mean a ministry. So you work, co-labor with the Holy Spirit as you get the pictorial visions in your mind. And sometimes when I prophesy over someone, I can see this vision, and that's all I have. And I go, I see this. And I start to describe the vision, as I'm describing the vision, the revelation of the vision comes. And then, like, I see a boat. And God's going to take you into your ministry. He's going to give you such a boat. There are souls that are going to come in. You just go from there, because the Lord usually starts with this. This is the way it works. This is the prophetic box of the Lord. You get what comes out of it. So, Lord, give me one word, one picture. It pops up. I speak that word. Guess what comes next? The next one. That's the way the prophetic works. That's the faith of stepping out when you don't have the whole picture. But you believe God's going to give it to you. So you pull the first word out. You give them the first word. You describe the first picture. And with faith, God will fill in the rest. That's hard sometimes when you're in a big group. All the eyes are upon you, and you have one little word. The first time that I ever prophesied over everyone, we were in this church, very prophetic church, never prophesied. These people can prophesy over anyone in the room, and I'm not getting anything. I feel like this big, right? And there were some people sitting up upon the platform, and I was just saying, Lord, give me a word for somebody. I'm tired of everyone else having all the fun, and I'm just sitting here. And there was this young man sitting up on the platform, and I looked towards him, and I heard the word abundance. I said, okay. And now there's some really seasoned prophets in this room, and they're given names and addresses, and I get, like, love, peace, and joy, abundance. I said, come on, God, work with me a little bit. Give me a little bit more. And he said, abundance. That was it. Are you going to be faithful with what I give you? All right. So I walk up to that guy. I said, brother, I have a word for you. And the Lord just has one word, it is abundance. He starts crying, going off. He had quit his job 2 days before to go into full time of ministry. And he did not know how he's going to pay to get his family fed. That word meant everything to him. Amen. Now, sometimes a prophetic can be one word. Sometimes that'll be the launch as God brings other words. The worst thing you can do, and the greatest mistakes I've made in the prophetic, is trying to interpret what I receive so it makes sense to me. And I've heard people prophesy. They'll have a true word from God. They give a true word from God. The beginning of the prophetic is absolutely 100% dead on correct. And then they'll try to explain it so it makes sense to them, and they go completely off. So within the same word, it can be right and wrong. The mistakes I've made is when I try to interpret so it makes sense to me. It's difficult to walk up to someone sometimes and give them a word that makes no sense to you. But trust in the anointing. Trust in the voice of the Lord. And keep the holiness is, as the Lord renews our mind. When we talked about our imagination being the eyes of your heart, you can have a corrupted, perverted imagination, or you can have a sanctified imagination. If you have a corrupted, perverted, or you're letting a lot of junk come in from the TV, it's like you have a piece of glass and you're trying to look outside through the window, and there's mud being thrown up all over the window. It's hard for the Lord to get that image in so you can see it. But when you're sanctified, when you let Christ renew your mind, and you have a sanctified mind, that window gets washed clean. And you can easily see what the Lord's showing you. Mm-hmm. Dreams are a very common way of communication from the Lord. Prophets dream. In the book of Deuteronomy, prophets are referred to as a dreamer of dreams. The reason dreams are so important is the Lord can bypass your analytical reasoning and speak directly to you. How many times has the Lord tried to talk to you and go, is that me or is that God? I shouldn't do that now. I don't know if that's God. Maybe that's me. Ba-da-da-da-da. When you're asleep, he doesn't have any of that. He can bypass your mind and just speak to you. That's why dreams are so important. If you want to dream more, ask, and you'll get it. Not all dreams are from God. You have to remember we have a demonic realm out there that's also speaking to us. We have a soulish realm that we deal with inside. Even dreams that have a powerful impact don't necessarily from God. Dreams are important. In Job, I'll let you read that, but dreams can keep you from hell. God can communicate important things to you through dreams. And when Steph does a thing on dreams, she's going to show you how to dream more. Aren't you, honey? Just because you have dreams does not mean you're prophetic. You are prophetic when you interpret dreams. And when we get that class on dreams, we're going to give out a lot of charts and symbols and stuff that'll help you interpret dreams. It's not always in black and white. Everything, you know, it helps as you understand, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives you understanding. Amen? Trances. I think I've been in a trance maybe twice. Trances are like visions, except you completely lose consciousness. It's like you're in a dreamlike state when you're awake. I saw a few words that I left out here, Martha, so I'm sure you're going to pick them up. A trance is not the prophetic experience. A trance prepares you for the prophetic experience. A trance is the anesthesia that the doctor gives you, and then he can operate. The Greek word is ecstasy for trance. It's a complete displacement of your mind. They can last anywhere from a few seconds to hours. I've heard stories of Amy Simple McPherson for like a day. She'd be preaching and like that for a day. They come back the next day and then you start preaching again. Powerful, huh? Usually trance, the way I understand, they underscore the importance of what God's trying to say. When Peter had the vision of the sheep coming down with all the animals and the Lord told him to eat, that changed the entire doctrine of the church that now we're going to preach to the Gentiles. That was a big thing. And so the Lord took him into a trance. So I feel that if it happened in the Bible, it's an open invitation for us. And that you can enter into other people's experiences. Angels. Angels are messengers from God. Often angels throughout Scripture, they're all over the place, coming from the heavenly realm to men and women. They protect us. They go before us. They strengthen us. They bring prophetic words to speak to us. They release spiritual gifts. They release the glory of God. You can see angels with an outward, natural eye. In fact, the Bible says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. You could have already been in contact, talked verbally with an angel, and did not know it. You can also see angels within your mind, the eyes of your understanding, through a vision. You can ask to see angels through visions. There's angels in here now. And there's times that you know, if you really just seek Lord, I would just like to see, just like Elijah's servants, Ahazi, when Elijah prayed, Lord, open his eyes, and he could see. And he saw the chariots of fire. and the army of the Lord. Lord, I just pray right now that you just open the eyes of everyone in here, God. Lord, that our eyes be open and that veil would become so thin, Father. Lord, enlighten. I just pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. In Jesus' name. I have a story here about an angel appearing to Philip and told him to get up and go talk to the Ethiopian eunuch. And an angel appeared to Paul before he fell into Rome. I just put these in here. These are New Testament examples of angels appearing to people. They still do that. When we go up to the shack and pray, and we just ask the Lord, Lord, we just want to come up into your heavenly realms. You see angels gathering outside the shack. They're going, look at them in there. They're here. The sight of angels in the early church was so common that when Peter was in jail and they were praying for Peter to be released, remember he broke out of jail in Acts 12, Peter walks up to the upper room where they were praying, and he knocks on the door, and that girl went up, and, it can't be Peter, we're praying for him to get out of jail, he can't be here. The disciples said, it's only his angel. That's wild. It was that common. And Lord, bring it back. Amen?
Yes.
Open our eyes.
Yes.
Visitations and the audible voice of the Lord. Visitations are supernatural encounters between the heavenly realm and man. They are usually very much life-changing events. Visitations by Jesus are biblical. They are even in the Old Testament. And it's more than one place. I put Daniel 8:15. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. He was seeing Jesus in the book of Daniel. Often the Lord speaks in an audible voice. Paul got that when he was on the road to Damascus, when Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That audible voice, it's just like someone speaking behind you in return. I asked the Lord, when I first got saved, I heard that 3 or 4 times. That audible voice of the Lord, and it'll stop and scare you. As I matured in my walk, I don't hear the audible voice anymore. It's always that still, small voice inside. And I asked the Lord, and you really have to work. You got to practice. We're going to get into the still, small voice at the end. But you really got to practice on hearing that still, small voice. I said, God, why don't you just speak in that audible voice all the time? Why do I have to struggle to hear you? And he goes, Mike, I don't holler at my friends. I said, okay, got it. And he used the word holler. So Jesus is Southern. Translations and transportations, or being transported. God will still use this to speak to man. There's a difference. When you were translated, your spirit will come out of your body. Your body stays here. Your spirit goes somewhere. Transported was like the verse I had when Philip, after he was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was caught up. He was taken away. The eunuch did not see him anymore. It was like Star Trek. He was beamed out. Beamed in someplace else and started preaching. I have prayed and prayed for that. God, the airport security, the cost of tickets now, please. Oh, I have one story on this, and I can say this because everyone's in the room, but we were in Florida. This is my translation story. We were in Florida, and I was talking to Brett, called me on the phone, and Brett was in a Walmart, and I'm in a hotel room with Steph. She's looking at me, and I'm on the cell phone. And Brett happened to say that he's in Walmart. As soon as he said that, this wind came, caught me on my ankles, came up my body, and I came out. went through the hotel room, went sailing up the East Coast. And I come up to this area, Newport. I can see the coastline, and I see the Noose and the Trent, and I see Walmart. And boom, I'm going through the roof of Walmart. I'm going, it's going to hurt. But it went right through the roof, and I'm hovering in the top of Walmart over him. And now my wife, you know this is true, because my wife is one, if I'm telling a story, I say that they had on a green shirt, she'll interrupt me and say, no, it was olive. So, yeah. She's watching me the whole time, and I'm just like, with a cell phone, but I'm not there. And I'm hovering in Walmart, and I see Brent. And I start to describe, are you in this such and such aisle next to this place? And next to the clothing, I described perfectly where he was at in Walmart. And so he thinks I'm there. I'm pulling his leg that I'm in one of the aisles. So he's trying to look for me. I said, no, dude, I'm above you, and I'm in Florida. I don't understand this, but anyway, there's a woman back over your right shoulder. She's pushing a cart. She's by herself. She has an injured shoulder. If you go pray for her, God will heal her and you'll lead her to the Lord. And then he goes, I gotta go. And then all of a sudden, boom, I came out and went sailing back down the East Coast and bam, came right back into my body. And I looked at my wife and go, that was weird. God loved that woman so much.
Mm-hmm.
God loves people so much.
Yes.
What I'm trying to do tonight is give you a grid for the supernatural. Yeah. That the Lord still does that. We're just taking off the walls and said, God, you do whatever you want to do, Lord.
She was there.
Yeah. She was there. You feel the anointing on that one, don't you? It's biblical, and God still does it.
Come on.
The trigger to all of this is faith. Lord, I believe, and because I believe, anything is possible.
Right.
Caught up in the Spirit. This is the way the Lord, when else the Lord speaks. Paul was caught up in the Spirit to the third heaven. He was not sure the Spirit has left his body. He said, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I don't know, or out of the body, I have no clue. God knows, but such a man was caught up in the third heaven. And in that third heaven, a heavenly realm, he received revelation. Out-of-body experiences are biblical. The Lord will capture you up. We can't make it happen, but we can position ourselves by faith so the Lord can do it. Encounters with the Lord are biblical. And they'll absolutely change your mind, change your life. Speaking of your mind, mind reading is next. Happen to see that. Mind reading, and I put this in here for a purpose. And I haven't covered all the way the Lord, all the different ways the Lord speaks. But when you say mind reading to most people, they think that's New Age. Right? That's occult. Right? It should be like the New Age. Supernatural Christianity, let me just mess with your paradigm some here. Supernatural Christianity, part of it is going to be similar to what New Age people do. The New Age is a counterfeit. When you counterfeit something, the counterfeit is supposed to look like the original. You ever seen enemy's plan? The New Age is to make stuff that's similar, that looks the same, but is not. To scare us from entering into authentic experiences with the Lord. Did you know that the Wiccans, the New Agers, they speak in tongues? Did you know that? They speak in tongues. So because the New Agers speak in tongues, should you stop?
No.
They also pray for the sick. and they perform healings. Which doctors do that? Yeah. So if a New Ager prays for the sick, should you stop? Don't let the New Age scare you from authentic experiences with God, guys. If the enemy has a counterfeit for it, that means the original is valuable. The Lord, the enemy does not want the church to move like the church did in the book of Acts. Have you ever been around someone and you knew what they were thinking? You just knew. That is a prophetic gift within you. You were operating in the prophetic. You don't know how you knew. There's no way in the natural you could knew because it's within their mind, but you knew what they were thinking. That is a prophetic gift that's within you. What we're doing is awakening that gift. Jesus always knew their thoughts. It says in Luke 17, he knew what they were thinking. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, but he knew their thoughts. Jesus could read minds. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Anyone ever hear someone give a message in tongues and interpretation of it? Yes. The Lord speaks to his church, speaks to people that way. It is called tongues and interpretation of tongues, not translation of tongues. A translation is a word by word a meaning. So if you hear someone in a service or wherever get up and give a message in tongues, and the interpretation is a lot shorter or a lot longer, interpretation means to a paraphrase. It's not a translation. I always wondered that. You know, some guy will get up and tongues for 5 full minutes. And the interpretation is 60 seconds. I was like, you left some out, buddy. Right? The Lord speaks to us daily as we read the Bible. As we read the Bible, we're experiencing the Logos and the Rhema word. The Logos is the entire 31,173 verses of the Bible inspired by man. That is the written word of God. It says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof and correction. The Logos is important. But there's not all there is.
That's right.
I've heard people say that everything we need for life is in the scriptures. Has anyone ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I respectfully disagree.
Amen.
Everything we need for life is in the scriptures and the spirit.
Yes.
We need the Logos and the Rhema word. The Rhema is a specific word or a thought that is inspired, that's breathed upon by the Lord. If you ever read the Bible and a certain verse just leaps out at you and it has that special meaning and it just grabs your heart. That's the Rhema word. That's the Holy Spirit activating that word and speaking to you. That's prophetic. God will give you verses for people. That is will be a Rhema word to them. When you're prophesying and the Lord gives you a scripture, you convert that to a Logos, to a Rhema word for that person. It's exactly what they need to hear at that moment. When you get that Rhema word, when the scripture jumps out, grab a hold of it, absorb it, deposit it into your heart, and use it. That is the same as any prophet speaking to you. Amen. Creation. Creation has a voice that declares the glory of God. Rivers clap their hands. Rocks can sing out. Mountains sing together. Everything. You know, I love, remember the last time I was at the beach, I was just thinking about this. And I'm standing on the beach, and you're looking at this expanse and the clouds, and I say, oh, Daddy, you did so good here. Right? And it just shows you how awesome God is. God speaks through his creation, so we have no excuse. And he'll also use creation in prophetic acts. Birds, things like that.
Yes.
Watch out for that. He will do that. He had a donkey speak. The Balaam. I have not run into any speaking animals yet.
Yeah.
I'm open to it. Amen? Don't freak me out, but I'm open to it. Prophetic arts. That's just a passion that we have here with the prophetic arts. I can remember the service that we had. And Wade Dunn was a painting. I think Corey was playing. Mm-hmm. And I had a message to give. And I was listening to Corey, and he was in that prophetic vein, prophesying as he was singing. And I heard what the Lord was saying through Corey singing. He was prophesying. And I looked, and Wade was painting, and he was prophesying as he was painting. And all of it fit with what the Lord had given me to share. And God speaks like that through so many things. I really, 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 and Fran's paintings are awesome.
Yes.
I just want to develop. Like, I just have this vision. Could you imagine having easels and paintings and having adults and children up here? And we tell them, guys, okay, close your eyes and ask the Lord for a vision. Now paint it. Draw that vision out. Prophet's journal. Artists paint and draw. Verbal communication. People can prophesy to you, and without them really knowing that they're prophesying to you. Have your kids ever prophesied to you? They came up with that word, and you go, ooh, that hurt. Or that's right on. We had a friend of ours at the house not too long ago, and he was sharing, and all of a sudden, his voice changed, and he changed topic, and he started speaking something to them. What we had talked about in lesson one was the definition of the prophecies that it bubbles up. I could see the bubbling in him. And I instantly stopped and started to really absorb what he was saying, because I could tell we're going from general conversation to I'm hearing the voice of God now. And we need to learn to recognize it can come through anyone. It can come through an unsafe person even. God can use anyone. And you learn to recognize all these different ways. God's always speaking, and he uses many different ways to do it. Flashbacks. Flashbacks are one of your past events of your life memory. People make the mistake of, like when we have prophetic exercises, and they're sitting here, and I said, okay, now get quiet and speak what comes to your mind. And what comes to their mind is something happened last week. And I'll go, oh, well, that's something that I have knowledge of, and they try to dismiss that. God will use your experiences and your past. He'll use things that you understand. He speaks to you in languages and ways that relate to you.
Good word.
He will use past events. And I use an example. Say a past event comes to your mind of when you experience fear. When the Lord does that with me, and he brings up this past event, I've learned not to dismiss it. I'll say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me that thing that happened last week? I was really scared when that happened. And that's what this person's feeling. And I can take that, and that's how you and use all these sources to deliver the prophetic word to the people. The best way to describe an impression is an inward witness of the Holy Spirit. You know or you feel. I just feel I should share this. I feel this about this person. I know that I know. Impressions are a very common way that the Lord speaks. They are faint. I call them angel taps. It's like kind of like the still small voice. A while back, the Lord told me, he says, learn to grab the small, faint impression. I call them angel taps. It was like, boop, boop, a right? It's a thought or an image or an impression that lights upon you ever so gently. And you go, where'd that come from? And since you don't think it relates to what you're doing, you dismiss it. And I'm going to show you later, that's the Lord speaking to you. Practice in the prophetic is learning how to grab a hold of those. It Acts it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Sometimes we can make mistakes because we can want something so bad we confuse that with the impression from the Lord. But there's an inner witness there that, you know, sometimes the inner witness can be overridden by our desire. You have to examine yourself and say, Lord, is this my desires or is this you? And all of this comes in practice. Impressions, you really start to distinguish impressions as you become more intimate with the Lord. And you really, and you're close, and they come more frequently, and they come more, and you can practice physical impressions. Use this a lot when we go overseas and healing crusades. You do a body check before you go up on stage or anything like that, or I can get around people. I do a body check. Do I have any pains that are not my own? And I've learned to recognize, by focusing on that, I learned to recognize those pains, those twitches, burning sensations, which I do not normally have. I've been up before, right now I'm thinking about this one service I was doing. We were in Santo Domingo, and I'm up, and all of a sudden I keep doing this. It's like my stomach is, oh, like, and I'm walking up on a stage like this, holding my stomach. And then I stopped for a second. I said, whoa, I don't have a stomach problem. So I called it out as a word of knowledge. People got healed. You learn to recognize those. God speaks through your body. We know that verse in 1 Kings, Elijah's running from God. He hears the wind, rocks break. He's looking for God speaking through the wind. He's not there. The earthquake comes. God's not speaking through the earthquake. There's a fire. God's not speaking through the fire. And then that still, small voice comes. And the Lord spoke through that. It is probably one of the most common ways, still small voice and impressions are the way God speaks. Often, we dismiss these voices, the still small voice, and we dismiss it, we think it's ours. You are hearing from God now. Not all of us are prophets, but we're all prophetic people. We're all sons and daughters of the King who have the right to hear their daddy's voice. We train ourselves to recognize his still small voice. And we learn to capture his voice when he speaks. The whole key is this intimate relationship with God. As we become more intimate, as we become a lovers, he can whisper in our ears. As we don't view God as a far-off daddy that's waiting to smack us down if we get out of line, but that he's a loving father that wants to embrace us. And as we start to move closer in that, that will awaken encounters with him. Our life should be a series of encounters after encounters after encounters. There is someone that lives inside of you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Abide in me and I will abide in you, says Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer that I live. You do not live when you're crucified with Christ. He lives within you. You are not alone when you're alone. There is someone living inside the house.
Come on.
And his name is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
get, grab onto that truth. Is there someone inside of here?
Yeah.
If there's someone inside of here, that not all thoughts are your thoughts. You are not a single family house, you're a duplex. You hear through the wall. There's no way, if God lives inside of you, that you cannot hear His voice. There's no way He's not speaking to you. Once you come to terms that you are not alone, once you come to terms with the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, there is going to be evidence of His presence there.
Excellent.
Not all thoughts are ours. Many thoughts are supernatural. Some thoughts come from our mind. Other thoughts come from His. Remember that God is always speaking. And we must learn to distinguish His thoughts, because what we do is that we'll take His thoughts, group them in with our thoughts, and think they're all ours. So this is so important. Our thoughts are analytical and cognitive. This is how you distinguish between your voice and the Lord's voice. Ours are analytical and cognitive. I woke up this morning, laid in bed, and I mentally ran through what I had to do during the day. How I had to get everything done. I got to get up, got to go to work, be a certain time, I have this meeting, I have this appointment, I got to get this prepared. That is reasonable, cognitive thinking. That is the way you and I think. Our thinking is restricted to what we know. We are limited to our experience and our knowledge. That's how you can tell if it's your thoughts. Reasonable, logical, cognitive thinking, analytical thinking. I have to, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. I have to do this and do this before I can do the third thing. I got 3 things to do before lunch. That's the way you and I think. I like red shirts instead of blue shirts. I've got to pick up the kids at a certain time. That's the way Holy Spirit thoughts. Since they're not your thoughts and they're not analytical, they are spontaneous. They just come upon you. They light upon you. They flow from the river of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Jesus said, out of our heart will flow rivers of living water. The spontaneous thoughts come from that river. They are the thoughts of the one that lives within us. The random thoughts that you wouldn't normally think, that just come out of nowhere, that you have been dismissing your whole life, wondering, why am I thinking that? That is a prophetic word from the Lord. That's the way the Lord speaks. They're very light. They're faint. And you learn to capture them. Sometimes they're so faint, you have a 1 or 2 second capture time. And if you don't, like Corey had mentioned, I train myself, as soon as I get that type of thought, I stop. And I capture it. Because if I'm too busy, I will let it go past me, and I will forget it. Part of the prophetic training is you learn to capture those thoughts. When you stand in front of someone and you prophesy to them, you're going to quiet yourself and you're going to trust that the next thought that comes to you is from the Lord, because you're asking. I'm going to explain that in a second. It's going to be faint. It may be random. It may make no sense to you, but it may make perfect sense to the person in front of you. And you learn to capture those thoughts, and that's how you begin to prophesy. Is this good ABCs of it? Good mechanics. The way you can test these thoughts that they come from the Holy Spirit, one of the ways is, what is the character of the thoughts? Do they line up with the character of God? Do they line up with the character of the Holy Spirit? Edifier, comforter, teacher, counselor, healer, giver of life. This is the way the Holy Spirit thinks. This is the way you pour it out. This is the way you know it's from Him. If it's spontaneous, it's probably not yours. Thoughts from the enemy. These thoughts are spontaneous because they're not from you. But the character is much different. Much different. They are destructive, evil, and perverted. You can recognize these thoughts because they line up with the character of Satan. He's a liar, destroyer, thief, murderer, accuser. That's how you know those random thoughts, those filthy random thoughts that hit you, they are from the enemy, but they're spontaneous. They just come upon you. The thought is not the sin.
Good.
And I've counseled this with so many men especially. Guys, the lustful thought is not the sin.
That's right.
That's the temptation.
That's right.
It's what you do if you open the door to that thought, then it's sin. We have the ability, all of us, to rebuke those destructive, evil thoughts as they come in. We take it captive. Where it says we take every thought captive. So sin becomes a reality when you open the door of your heart to that thought. So let me give you four keys to summarize to hearing God's still small voice. We learn, number one, we learn to recognize God's voice as spontaneous thoughts which light upon your mind. Look for the spontaneous thoughts. When the spontaneous thought comes, stop. I would teach myself. I would just get quiet. I'd say, Lord, speak to me in these spontaneous, show me, Lord. And then he would start, because you ask and he does it. Quiet yourself. As you begin to look for the spontaneous thoughts, quiet yourself and get still so you can hear the Lord's voice. And then look for the vision. Look for the thoughts. You look for it. And then journal or write down your prayers and God's answers. Journaling is going to be so important as you grow in the prophetic. Guys, journal. Journal, 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 journal. Journaling will take out the cork and open the flow. It says in the Bible that if we ask for a fish, the Lord's not going to give you a snake. And if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. This is a powerful prophetic covenant. This is a promise. You can take this one to the bank. When you ask to get saved, he's not going to send you to hell. When you ask for a prophetic word for someone, you're coming under that covenant. You're coming saying, you stand before a person, you say, Lord, give me a prophetic word for that. The enemy cannot slip in, because you're coming under that covenant saying, Lord, I'm asking for bread. And I know a snake can't, or a rock can't get involved in here. We have to trust that the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy.
Yeah.
One of the things that you need to overcome to flow in the prophetic is the fear of not being correct. Is the fear where maybe this is me, or maybe this isn't. Maybe this is a wrong word. You just got to go for it. This is why I would keep saying this is a safe place. This is where you practice. You've just got to go for it. And when I go up, I trust. Like when I quiet my mind, I say, Lord, give me a word for that person. I've worked that out within me, that I have 100% faith. The next thought that lights upon my mind is the beginning of that word. When you start to get that within you, when you learn to quiet yourself, trust the next thought that comes, recognize that spontaneous thought, you'll be able to prophesy over every person in this room. And it'll pop out like that first tissue pops out. And you just go for the one word, you say that, and then the tissues just start popping out like crazy. And you will get into the river that's flowing from you, that's flowing from the Holy Spirit. And you'll be amazed about how quickly this gift is awakened within you. We're not all prophets, but we're all prophetic.
Okay.
I want you to prophesy to someone this week. Whether your work, your home, business, family, whatever, you do not have to tell them that you are a prophesying. It's so cool. This is how I activate the gift within me. You work it in to a prophetic lifestyle. Being prophetic is a prophetic lifestyle. Wherever I go, I'm in the car, I'm going to see someone, I'm going to see one of my, someone that we're working with, one of our clients. I'll be in the car or whatever, or wait for someone to come into the office. And quietly say, Lord, give me a word for this person. And then I get quiet. I look for the spontaneous thought. I grab it. I capture it. I bring it down. And then I can work it into a general conversation and just watch their eyes. They go, oh, how'd you know that? You do not have to start out with, thus saith the Lord. It's not necessary at all. Yeah, I mean, God doesn't speak in King James. He wasn't born in the 1500s. So I want you to prophesy over someone this week. But make it easy on yourself, okay? You don't have to tell them that you're prophesying, just work it in. But the key is to start this lifestyle of being prophetic. The key to the prophetic is asking. You have not because you ask not. So whenever you go talk to someone, wherever you go meet someone, Lord, give me a word for that person. And you will be amazed how this gift starts to flow. And then the second homework is to journal. Begin journaling. We talked about the Song of Songs. You can do something like that, okay? All right, activation. I want you all to pair up with someone that you are not real familiar with. Someone that's not your best friend. Definitely not in your family. Now get quiet. Now remember, when you ask the Lord for a word, it's the next thought. You're entering into that covenant. I want you to pray and ask the Lord for a prophetic word or picture. To look for vision or the word. Capture the spontaneous thought that comes. Give them the mail.
After the spontaneous thought, the first little thing, remember it could be about something that happens to you, a picture, just describe it. Spontaneous. I'm only going to give you 5 minutes, and then I'm going to have you pair up with someone different.
Okay.
Move it around. Someone else that you really don't know as well. Different person. Clear your mind. Ask the Lord to give you a word for that person. Quiet yourself again. Look for the first thought, picture that drops in your mind and share it with them. I see this or I hear this.
I'm